Today is October the 2nd. I'm sitting with Marvin Dreyer, who lived at 257 Brunswick from 1934 to 1951. I want to say thank you very much for agreeing to speak to me.
My pleasure.
And would you just tell me how old you were from 1934 to 1951 when you lived on Brunswick?
Ages 1 to 18.
So you can talk about childhood and adolescence. Now, I just want to add something, that you and I took a politics class, and one day we were walking into the class together, and you told me you had taken one of your grandchildren to see the house where you had grown up, and the person living there had allowed you to come into the house.
Yes.
And
I'd been in there once before.
Okay. And I told you about the history project, and you told me that Rosie Schwartz let you into the house, and I told you I had just interviewed Rosie Schwartz, and I was familiar with 257. So she bought that house from your parents?
I think her parents bought that from my parents.
Okay. So we go back, considering that she's still living there in 2012, and you moved in there in 1934.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the history of that house from 1934 to 2012.
Yeah, well, just to clarify, they lived next door before they bought our house. It was an attached house, semi-detached. And probably number 255. So that's where her family lived. And prior to that, she probably told you all this. They had the corner grocery store.
Yes, I have pictures of the corner grocery store. And she told me that they lived next door and then bought that one.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
When your family moved there in 1934, now you were too young to know at that time, but do you have any idea what attracted them to that house, that neighborhood?
I couldn't possibly answer that.
Uh-huh.
But I guess there were other families of same circumstance, same backgrounds, or quite a few on the block, so I guess it would not be unnatural for them to move there.
And when you say same circumstances, what are you referring to more specifically?
Well, they were both born in Europe and Jewish, and there are quite a few people of that extraction there.
Uh-huh.
Certainly not exclusively, but quite a few.
So when you grew up, you're saying there were a lot of Jewish families on Brunswick?
Quite a few, yeah. Our two immediate neighbors at that time were not, but there were quite a few Jewish families, of course.
What, as a child, what language did you speak in your home?
English.
Uh-huh. And with these Jewish families that you describe, was there Yiddish on the street or in some of the homes, Yiddish spoken?
Not very much to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
There probably was, but I didn't get exposed to it except in my own house. But my parents spoke to me pretty well in English, yes.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. When you were living there that period, you and your parents lived there.
And by the way, I do speak Yiddish.
Oh,
but
good.
That's because I heard Yiddish spoken, and later on some people helped me cultivate it. I don't speak it that well, but I do speak it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How many, you and your parents, were there any other children or anybody else living under that roof?
Yes. My sister, my late sister, mm-hmm. Anna, and she was 4 years older than me. She lived there. And when she got married, her husband, Bernie, moved in as well. But prior to that, my parents rented out parts of the house. As a matter of fact, I know that we lived only in the ground floor for the first little while.
So there were four of you living on the ground floor then?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And was there a second floor and a third floor?
Yes.
There were two more floors.
Two more floors, yeah.
So were these other family members? Were these strangers? Who lived upstairs?
Oh, well, they had rented out the second floor, and I believe perhaps there were two spinsters on the third floor.
We don't use that word anymore, but we certainly did at that time, yeah. Uh-huh. So they rented it. There were a lot of people living under that roof then.
Yes, there were. I was very young then. Things changed, of course.
In what respect?
Well, we moved up to the third floor.
Who, you and your sister?
And my parents, yeah.
Moved up to the third floor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And who lived on the first two floors?
Well, we lived on the first and the third. And the second was rented out.
Oh, that's interesting. So what was the configuration of where you lived, where you slept, where you ate, when you were using the first and third floors?
Well, we had a living room.
On the
which I think you were in.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And there was, of course, the kitchen and the other room, which may have been a bedroom at sometimes or a dining room at others.
So then when you took over the third floor, is that where you slept?
Yes, yes. They were the bedrooms.
So the two children and the two adults
yes.
slept up on the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
During all this time when you lived on the first floor, on the first and third, how many kitchens were there and how many bathrooms were there?
There was a kitchen on the first floor and there was a kitchen on the second floor.
Uh-huh.
And there was one bathroom in the house.
So at some point there were a lot of people sharing that one bathroom.
At some point, yes.
Yes. What about the downstairs? Was that finished? Was, you know, the basement area?
The basement was unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
There was what we called a summer kitchen in the back of the house,
uh-huh.
which looked like it was an add-on.
And how was that used?
Sorry?
How was that used?
It became the stairway to the basement and as well for some storage,
mm-hmm.
pantry storage, I think.
The people in your neighborhood, as much as you can recall, I know it's a long time ago, you said there were a lot of Jewish people. Who else made up the neighborhood?
The non-Jews?
Yeah.
Well, there were quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately to the south of us were the Schwartzes. I think the Schwartz family lived. Eventually, there was an elderly woman and her niece, who was a teacher. And I think they had perhaps a roomer or boarder there as well. And that was on the one side. And on the other side, I remember them very well because they're very friendly people, the Holmes family.
Mm-hmm.
And they were our immediate neighbor to the north, and there were other non-Jewish families.
As far as you can recall, did the families hang out with each other, visit each other? The non-Jewish families and the Jewish families, or did people stay mainly with
I think everybody was friendly, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think necessarily, I don't know how much hanging out my parents did then.
Right, right. Was your father working?
I'm sorry?
Was your father working?
Yes.
And what kind of work did he do?
He was managing a lumber yard at that time.
Uh-huh. How did he get there?
It was owned by my mother's father, and it was my grandfather's business.
And for transportation, what was his means of getting there?
He would have used transit, mm-hmm. I guess the Bloor streetcar, I would assume, until he got there. He got his car sometime in the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, he was not working there anymore. He found it a business for himself.
As far as you can recall, excuse me, were there any mothers who were working outside the home?
Probably a few,
but
not many.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you recall any people who had any kind of businesses in their home, cottage industries?
I can't.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the homes a little, what did you have immediately behind your house, a piece of land behind your house? Was that used?
I'm sorry?
Whatever you had behind your house, a back garden or a back porch, how did your family use that?
Well, I remember we had a couple of big plum trees.
Uh-huh.
And my father did gardening. Mm-hmm. And I think during the war, he had a victory garden.
Oh, yes. Do you remember, have any idea what he grew there?
All the vegetables.
Uh-huh. And you ate, so you ate fresh vegetables, and the price was right.
That's correct.
Right. And when you think about any of the kids you might have played with, did they have victory gardens?
No, I don't really know.
You don't remember? No. What about the front? What did you have in front?
I think we just had lawn. It was a small front yard.
And was there a veranda or porch?
There was a veranda, yeah.
Was it used by your family?
We used it, yes. Yes, indeed. We would sit on it, of course.
Yeah. What did you have on there that you sat on?
Certainly a folding bench, as I recall. Uh-huh. I can't remember what else.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't that big.
Yeah. What about the other families? Did people sit out in front? Was that...
Oh, I'm sure they did, yeah.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Huron Street Public School.
Mm-hmm. Were some of the other children there going to Huron Street Public School?
A lot of them went to Lansdowne.
Mm-hmm. And do you know why you went to...
I think they call it Lord Lansdowne.
Nah, yes, yes. Do you have any idea why your parents chose Huron for you?
I can't really tell you. I don't know. Uh-huh. That's what they chose. And I, of course, was very young and just seemed the right thing to do. Go where they enrolled me. Yeah. And that's what happened.
And where did you go to high school?
I went to Harbor Collegiate.
Mm-hmm. Well, that certainly has people have lovely memories of Harvard.
Yes.
What do you remember?
Well, I don't want to get into that because I really can't recall all that much. I was busy doing a lot of things then, but I can't really have a lot of specific recollections.
Mm-hmm. What about, you lived there in your adolescence, and I'm not speaking to too many people who lived there during that, about dating and the boys and the girls at 14, 16, 17. What was the style at that time?
I don't know. I think I wasn't doing a lot of dating, but there's certainly a few times when boys and girls would get together, and I think sometimes with one or two of the girls on the block. I really can't remember a lot of the specifics, but I know we did a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Did you do it more individually or more as a group?
More as a group.
Uh-huh. And what about... The Y, which is at Lawrence Spadina now. I think it used to be on Brunswick. I'm not sure, but was that in your life at all?
It was on Brunswick, north of college, next to the Brunswick Tomatara that I attended.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't an active participant at the Y, if you will, until later in life, but... No, I didn't go there a lot, and then I remember that Bloor Street was built, but I was busy with other things, and I didn't do a lot of that at that time.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you went to the Tomatara. Was that after school?
After school.
Uh-huh. So you went to Huron Public School, mm-hmm. and then at 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon, you went to the Tomatara.
That's correct.
How many times a week did you do that?
5.
Oh, my God. So your days were full.
Was that a little slip when you said, oh, my God?
So you were, you had a busy day from 9 in the morning till 5:30 in the afternoon or something like
that. Well, sometimes it was, I think, after 5:30, so it varied. I can't remember specifically.
Did you have a bar mitzvah?
I did.
And where was that?
It was at the Shomrei Shabbos congregation.
And where
was
that?
At the corner of Sussex and Brunswick, just down the street.
Sussex and Brunswick. Ah. Okay, because there's the Nerriver.
Yes.
Is on Brunswick, just north of Harbert.
That's correct.
So this was a different one, a different shul.
That's correct.
So what do you remember about shuls? Were there? So now I know. Was the Nerriver there at that time or not?
as I recall, we never attended that in the Raya, where we attended the Shomer Shabbos, but as I recall, it had been a church.
The Nerivar was a church?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were there other shuls in that neighborhood?
Not that many. There was a lot farther south.
Yeah. Some of them are still there.
Yes. No, but not that many that I can recall north of Harvard.
Mm-hmm. You're right, because there, I know that there's still some in the Market area and south of college.
That's correct, yeah. But there were many more.
Yeah. What about churches? Do you recall any churches?
There's certainly churches along Bloor Street. Mm-hmm. When I'd walk to school, I'd pass a couple of three of them.
As
I recall.
Yeah. There's still one or two, but on the other side of Spadina, east of Spadina.
I think one is west of Spadina on Bloor, and one is east of Spadina on Bloor. I do remember the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there was one further up on, I think around Walmer and Lowther, because I used to walk, take different routes to school, so I remember them.
Talking about different institutions, the stores along Bloor, because you were quite close to Bloor, do you remember any of the stores that your family went to, shopped in?
Well, sure.
What are some that you remember?
Well, the Weiner Hardware was always there. It's still there.
It's still there, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. So that's a long time that it's been there.
I think the Weiners lived across the street from us at one time.
Uh-huh.
I remember Jerry Weiner, who was a little older than me, but lived across the road. You might have known that name. I don't know if you did.
You know, I grew up in Montreal.
Just from the neighborhood, because they were well established. There were, of course, other stores we'd go to.
So when your mother or whoever was shopping wanted to buy food, where would that have been?
Off and down to the corner stores. I think there was a Loblaw store where Honest Ed's is now, right on the corner.
Mm-hmm. What about Kensington Market? Did your parents use the market?
I recall going to the Kensington Market, let's say, when I'd be down at my grandfather's house on Huron and Dundas, and recall walking home with my parents and walking through the market on, let's say, a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't do their they didn't shop there regularly.
Not
at
regularly,
the market.
No.
Uh-huh.
My mother would shop at one of the butcher shops down at Harvard, and there were a couple at Harvard and Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
There were always a bakery around there.
Do you remember the names of the bakeries?
Well, I think the Harvard Bakery was there established before we moved out. I can't remember exactly when, and there were other bakeries. I couldn't remember the name. Of any of them?
When you think of the neighborhood, I know it's a very long time ago, but could you characterize it for me, kind of generally speaking, what it was like as you remember it?
Well, we were young and we were happy, so it was a happy neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Safe?
We felt safe.
Uh-huh. And I guess, in terms of who lived there, socioeconomically, what would you say? Who was living in those homes at that time?
I would assume that everyone was more or less most were in the same bracket. I would assume working class families.
Yeah. I think it says a lot when you say that your parents... You and your sister, your parents lived on the first floor, rented the second floor, rented the third floor. Eventually, you took over the third floor, so I guess at that point, your family could afford to have
fewer tenants. We eventually did move to the second floor, by the way.
So eventually you took over the whole house.
I think we rented out the third floor, and then I think took over the whole house.
So as things as your father was paying off the mortgage, I guess.
They had a mortgage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But as more of it was paid off, you could use more of the house.
Yeah. I didn't get into those matters at the time, but yeah. It was pretty obvious,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember the University of Toronto? I mean, you were 18 by the time you left. Do you remember what it was like having the university as a neighbor to our neighborhood?
Somewhat.
Anything of interest?
Well, we would sometimes use one of the fields as a playing field in the summer. So we certainly would take advantage of that. I can clearly recall that Hart House had chimes going on a hot summer Sunday night on a regular basis. I don't think that's going on anymore, but I can remember that. And those are my memories of the university.
Mm-hmm. So, so I'm thinking of the university and Kensington Market. They were in the neighborhood, but they really didn't impact on you in any significant way.
Not too much, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about the back lanes? Was there a back lane where you lived?
There was.
And was it something that you used at all?
Well, not specifically that one, but I used to sort of play shinny or whatever with some of the kids in a block or two over in some of the back lanes, yeah.
And what is that you played?
Hmm?
What is that? Shinny?
Well, I guess maybe we had some hockey sticks and balls or uh-huh. maybe a bit of baseball game of some kind. So we used to do that a bit.
Were the lanes behind your house or where you played, were they paved? Semi-paved? What?
No.
What? They weren't paved?
They were not.
So it could be muddy if it had just rained.
It could be, but I don't remember playing in the mud.
Yeah, yeah. But you do remember playing in the lanes.
Yes, we did use
them. What about the heating? Do you remember how the house was heated?
Coal.
Uh-huh.
Before they got an oil burner. I think at one time, yeah.
What about keeping the food fresh? Refrigerator or?
I think the refrigerator came very late. We had an ice box, and I think that was very common then.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Any memories about the ice box to share?
Well, not really, no. Uh-huh. No. We liked it when the iceman came by in the summer.
What happened?
Well, I think most of the kids would grab a little chip of ice. I think that was fairly common.
So would you chip it, or it fell down
no,
and you would grab it?
We would just pick up pieces of uh-huh, it. Uh-huh. We didn't handle the tools.
Yeah, yeah. So that was quite delicious. Yeah, and something for free. Yeah, yeah. Anything else you remember about the stores? You mentioned a fish store, meat store.
Well, there were a couple of down at Harvard and Brunswick, including Greenspan's.
What was that?
It was a butcher shop. Uh-huh. There's a ceramic store there now.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I remember Anita and... I haven't seen her in a few years, but she's Anita Sherman is around. And,
Anita Sherman, is she the ceramic store, you mean?
No,
oh.
No. Well, her father had the Greenspan's butcher shop.
And who? And Anita is, where is she now?
Somewhere in Toronto.
Yeah.
I could find her.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, no, but so her father owned the butcher shop, and
yeah.
did she sometimes work there?
I don't remember that. Uh-huh. I just knew her.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So she was your generation.
Yes.
Our generation.
Yes,
should say.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, mine.
Yeah. Well, you're not much older than I am. What about?
And there was I think the Tenenbaum family had a chicken operation in a block south of us on Brunswick, near the across from the Neriver. Remember that? Now that you're helping me resurrect my memory.
So that was across from the Neriver, and that was a chicken.
Some kind of chicken.
They had live chickens?
I guess. Yeah. I don't.
So that building either is being used as a house now, or there's a little park there, so maybe that building was torn down.
No, possibly. I don't know. I do remember that we would, and this was during the war, and I think this is probably a little bit of color that you might want to hear, but we'd walk up to the corner of Brunswick and Bloor, and there were a lot of servicemen around, and there was the Ye Olde Brunswick Hotel. Mm-hmm. And they had a woman, they called it the woman's lounge or whatever, at the back of the hotel, because as I recall, it was ladies and escorts. That was it. We'd go up there, and across the road was a dance hall.
Mm-hmm.
Were you aware of that?
No, I've never heard this.
Yeah, it was next to the lane. I think then became the Poor Alex, but we would go up there and just watch the goings on a Saturday night. And, I think a few times the police had to call in the riot squad. There were a lot of soldiers that were coming to the beer hall and the dance hall, and we found it entertaining.
Oh, bad. It must have been very exciting for a 13 or 15 year old. Well, to watch the action.
Well, I was younger than 13 or 15 at that time, but we would go up there and watch it.
And what were some of the other kind of fun memories that you have from that age and stage of your life in the neighborhood?
Well, you mentioned the university, and you mentioned Kensington Market, but we had a couple of other things that we were close to. We sometimes, especially after school at Huron Street Public School, we'd go up to Casa Loma. Mm-hmm. We'd go into the museum, look at the dinosaurs, and I think some of the mummies. I guess they held fascinations for us then. So that was part of the neighborhood.
Was that in right south of Bloor in our part of the neighborhood, or that was north of Bloor?
Well, the school was north of
right.
Bloor, but
yeah.
That would draw some of us
right.
towards those places.
How much did you play on the street?
Quite a bit, actually.
So you played in the lane and you played on the street?
Yeah.
And when the neighbors...
Or in the university ground, or perhaps over at Central Tech. We had a big playground.
So there was a lot of playing outdoors, the kids having good time outside. We talked about your father going to work using public transportation. In terms of the food, do you recall delivery? You talked about the ice being delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall any other food being delivered?
No, I'm pretty sure that somebody came around with bread every once in a while. I think there was also somebody came by with produce, but I can't remember or when.
Okay, but what was the means of transportation of bringing this to you?
And milk delivery as well. So I think some had trucks and some had horse and wagons. Mm-hmm. There were horse and wagons then, as you know.
Yes. And where would the horses and wagons have been parked? Any of them in your neighborhood that you remember?
None that I know.
Uh-huh.
I think they're farther south. They had stables down.
Down near college, I think.
Down around college, uh-huh. Yes.
I certainly notice as I'm meeting people, that most people, if they were young, really recall their street and the cross streets that were closest to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you lived north, south of Bloor, which you did,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't know too much about College Street. You would really know what was...
Oh, we did know a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, one of the things we did then was go to movies.
Okay. And where did you do that?
Well, we had three right around us that I think we had a choice of. One was the Bloor Cinema, which is not the current Bloor Cinema, but it was the one on the south side. There was the Midtown, which I think is now called the Bloor Cinema.
Uh-huh.
And then there was one west of Bathurst, the Alhambra. And then there were a few movie houses farther afield.
But you had three within quick, easy walking distance.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And the kids could go...
And we'd go to the movies on Saturday, and we'd watch the serials as well as the newsreels.
How many hours would you sit there?
Oh, I have no recollection. Maybe a couple of hours.
Yeah. Anything else on Bloor that you recall?
I think those are some of the highlights.
While you were there, now there have been a lot of renovations. At that time, were there renovations or not yet?
I don't think there were a lot, no. A lot of it was at wartime, and I don't think there was that much going on.
Do you remember?
I don't remember much of that.
You know, you said wartime. Do you remember the end of the war?
Do I remember the end of the war?
I mean, was there any reaction in the neighborhood?
Well.
Or your parents?
Well, I certainly do remember the end of the war, and but I can't remember anything specific to the neighborhood.
You agreed to speak to me. I really appreciate it. I'm wondering whether there's anything that we haven't talked about that you think might be significant before I say thank you for giving me your time and your stories.
I think you've helped me resurrect a lot of things, and I thank you for that. I can't remember a heck of a lot. Oh, yes, I can. One more thing I can tell you. I think they were Cannot Laboratories on Spadina Circle. Mm-hmm. And I think they did some manufacturing perhaps of penicillin at that time. And used to create quite an odor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, so if the wind was blowing in your direction.
Well, perhaps. But I remember that. I guess there's a lot of things to remember, but that one sort of stuck out.
Well, I'm glad that you remembered it, because I haven't heard it, and that was certainly part of your growing up.
It wasn't something that went on for countless years, but I do remember that for a while. We knew that they were making penicillin there. I think it was fairly new at the time.
Well, Marvin, I thank you very, very much for your time and your fabulous stories.
My pleasure.
Sharing your experiences.